Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Good morning, sinners.
Good morning.
The second one's supposed to be louder. That's okay. We have a holy crowd at 11 o'clock. Maybe you're a little bit more holy after you have some coffee and breakfast in the early crowd. My throat's a little dry, so excuse me for having a cup of tea while I preach. I'm also a responsive preacher, so I'm going to need some help. I just can't do this on my own. Don't think the preachers can do this all on their own. So why do you think this is an important passage for us to understand the story of the calling of Andrew and Peter? Simon in the text, but we know that it's Peter. So what is the significance of this story? Right, God comes first. And what happens when God comes first? It's real basic. We give up ourselves, right? And when we give up ourselves, we go out to catch people for Jesus. If they didn't actually go out and fish, we wouldn't be here today. If they just followed Jesus, they would have just followed Jesus, and Jesus would not have been handed on, catch to catch, person to person. See, we don't come to Jesus just based on our individual faith alone. And it occurs in a relationship. I want you to think about your life and who caught you for Jesus. Something caught you for Jesus. It might have been the beautiful music. It might have been somebody loving our children enough to deliver a children's message to you. It might have been a Sunday school teacher who took an interest in your life. It might have been youth group. It could have been a meeting in the church. It could have been your parents, grandparents, or somebody in the street or in the community that nurtured you in your gifts and your talents and in your right direction you felt God unfolding in your life. But something caught you for Jesus. And I'm reminded, who here likes to go fishing? Yeah, fishing's fun. What's the best part of fishing?
Eating fish?
Well, you got an intermediate. Something needs to happen before you eat the fish. You got to catch them. People are always talking about, I'm going to go fishing. I said, well, I don't know about you. I'm going to go catching. If you're going to catch it, I'll go on your fishing trip. Because if you're just going to float around and have a good time, I want to actually catch fish. As a pastor, I actually want to bring disciples into the church. I want to bring people into relationship with Jesus Christ. If we're so interested in just fishing and for following Jesus without really living out the purpose that we're following him for in the first place, then what are we really doing? What are we really doing? When we follow Jesus, I expect results. I expect there to be a catch. I expect us to bring people into relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm talking about casting out a big net and kind of hauling everybody in Westgrove in here, and maybe a few of them might like it and want to stay. We're not doing that kind of fishing where you ever watch them shows where they catch all these fish and they throw half of them overboard trying to look for the ones that they want? That's not the way Jesus goes fishing. Jesus goes fishing intentionally and with a purpose. He works through the things that we are interested in, our passions, our vocations, our life situations. Now, the church has tried so many different programs. Now, I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the church in general. We've gone through phases. Who here remembers the hippie phase in youth group? Where you get the youth group guy, had the big fro, long hair, had a guitar. I'm like, yeah, half of the choir's like, yeah, that's probably why you're here, isn't it? Yeah. Miss them good old days. Woo. Right, so we went through that phase. And then we went through the let's be attractional phase. I just read somewhere that about 15 years ago to bring people into church, they used to like get a church bus, and they would drive the church bus into where they were meeting and make it all dramatic, and the people would spill out of the bus and everything. But we're beyond gimmicks and games. When we get back to what it means to fish, we're really as simple as taking our fishing gear that Mrs. Bushnell showed us and setting a nice, tasty hook. Why do we need to do that? Why do we need to go out fishing? So I'll tell you what, there's somebody else working these waters, trying to hook people. And hook is a good word for what happens to our people, isn't it? They get hooked on drugs. They get hooked on abusive relationships. They get hooked on getting ahead. They get hooked on getting into debt. They get hooked on bad habits. They get hooked on things that are not of Jesus Christ. So we know there's somebody out there already who's a pretty good fisherman. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that the devil is a very good fisherman. He knows how to set a hook. He knows how to hang that right in front of you, let you play with it a little bit. You tug on it. Might even taste it or nibble it and think he can play with it. Next thing you know, he's reeling you in. Let me ask you a question. I'm seeing all these Eagles jerseys. How come we're not as passionate of fishing for people as we are for Eagles fans? How come we're not cheerleading for God as much as we're cheerleading for our team? What is on your hook? And I'm talking about manipulating people. I'm not talking about the old bait and switch. I don't know how many times, even as a pastor, I kind of get snookered into going someplace. Somebody's telling me, oh, it's going to be one thing, and then you get there, it's a hard sell or something else. All right? Evangelism is not a timeshare. We don't invite people to some great opportunity and then give them a hard sell. It's fishing. It's being attractive. It's luring people in with something that is so desirable that it can't be left alone. The fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. We're not going to attract people by beating them over the head with their sin or being judgmental. We're not going to attract people by throwing Bible verses at them. We're not going to attract people by telling them how to live their lives. We're going to attract people by showing them the life that Jesus Christ offers of peace, of restoration, of reconciliation, of health, of endurance and perseverance, and of love. When we look around into our society, we see everybody is very slick at selling us those very things that Jesus offers us for free. And that's exactly why we need to go fishing. But it's not the latest and greatest gear. It's not the latest and greatest idea. If you don't believe me, just go on the denomination website or our bookstore, cokesbury.com, and they'll tell you everything you need to do for your church to grow and prosper. Fine and dandy. I don't doubt that, but I know one thing, and the only thing that makes a church grow is that Jesus Christ is the center of it and that the people go out and bring Jesus Christ into the world, because that's the only thing that truly attracts people to God. And I firmly believe that. And just as much as I know that that's all you need, it's the same as the fishermen. I can take you down to the creek and you'll see these people who go down to Cabela's down there in Wilmington, and they buy all this gear. And they look sharp. They look great. And then they're sitting there fishing and they don't pull anything up. And then you get some old guy walking down with his little wooden pole, maybe a little string and a little pail, and he's bringing in the fish. Why? Because he knows what he's doing. It's not a gimmick. It's not a game. It's not trying to bring people in and then convert them. It's living out the conversion in the world that allows people to swim into church, that allows people to be brought into our area of influence. See, we're going to be caught either way. You realize that? You're either going to be caught and fried, or you're going to be caught and brought into the kingdom of heaven. There's only two ways to be caught, because you will be caught. There's no other option. So if you are here in church today, I'm going to ask you to be caught by Jesus Christ. And then your job is to go out and catch others before the one who wants to lead them to the eternal frying pan catches them. It's as simple as that. That's why Simon, that's why Peter and Andrew were called. It was to catch you. You're the catcher of the day. Because if you weren't here, you'd be the catcher today somewhere else. You are here. You are here. Because Andrew and Peter responded to the call to be fishers of people. You are here today to give your thanks for being caught by catching others. Now that's going to be up to you and your discipleship. There's plenty of opportunities in the church to do that, but the most important thing is just move Jesus to the center of your hearts. And in everything that you do and say, allow yourselves to realize that the same Jesus that caught me and saved my life is the same Jesus that will catch others and save their life. And that's the same Jesus that will catch the ones who have caught the ones that we caught, that we were originally caught by Peter and Andrew so many years ago. Catch, catch, catch. It's easy to go fishing. It's hard to be catchers of men and women. Be a catcher. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ for today. Amen.